SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3! This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. We're talking about Middle Tennessee State and UTEP because that's what we do here because we're a kick-ass show. We talk about the biggest games on the board, and this is a big one. UTEP actually are hot. They're getting 6. Talking about Middle Tennessee being the best point spread team in the country. But coming into this game, how many people are going to talk about this game tomorrow and talk about these guys? I think the number might be a little bit high. We always talk about you don't want to get in front of a speeding bullet, right, unless you're a Secret Serviceman getting paid to do it. And right now, Middle Tennessee State are a speeding bullet. But UTEP are balling right now. It's a tough road trip, though. It's an interesting game. I like the over here. As I stated, Middle Tennessee State are 15-9 to the over on the season. And they're going to be able to control the tempo more in their barn, on their gym. So I like the over at 137.5. I get the feeling, guys, that Middle Tennessee State win. But they win right around the number. They're going to win by 4. They're going to win by 5-6 type thing. And I think Middle Tennessee State are safer in moneyline parlays, or maybe UTEP are worth a look here. We'll see if there's line movement in this game. I want to talk about Pacific. All right, so we got Middle Tennessee State on one side here. I'm looking for a line here. What the hell's going on? All right, here we go. All right, they're getting 13. They're getting 13. The Dons and Pacific. All right, so listen, guys. Pacific, these guys are absolutely terrible, all right? And it's one of these deals where, in hindsight, you look back, you're going to be, man, how come we didn't bet more Pacific games? Guys, Pacific could play 25 basketball games, all right? They've covered 21.7% of the time. They're 5-18-2 against the spread. 5-18-2. I remember talking about this, saying, guys, they played 17 games and they've covered 4 times. So, in other words, they're now 1-4 again. So, like, they're basically covering every 5th game type thing. Not even. They're covering 20% of the time, 21% of the time. Like, and it's not like, well, it's going to change. No, the season's nearly over. They're terrible. It just is what it is, right? And they're taking on the San Francisco Dons, who are a good team. All right, thing is with the Dons, they're a terrible spread team in their own right. It's one of those weird deals. San Francisco are 21-7 straight up, but they're 9-17-1 against the spread on the season. All right, Pacific are just bad. And, you know, like, you don't need to overthink things here, but this is one of these bizarro world type of games in which Pacific actually beat San Francisco earlier this year. Right? So, actually, you know, it was the end of last year, 76-69 here. 76-69. What was Pacific's last game here? Yeah, Pacific's coming off a win. That's the one. They're coming off. It was Loyola Marymount. That's it. 69-68. But it's not like Loyola Marymount are any good, right? Like, the game was basically a pick 'em. The game was basically a pick 'em on Saturday night. So you got a red-hot Pacific team here, right? So, coming in here. The question is it too many points to be laying? Is it too many points to be laying? I don't know. Like I said, you know what I mean? Like Pacific, I'm just giving you the numbers here. It's interesting to me, though, that Middle Tennessee State are the best ATS team in the country, and they're playing tomorrow night, and we got Pacific, who are the worst, and they're playing. And I almost get the feeling like the bizarro world is going to happen. Pacific will cover, and Middle Tennessee State won't. The Beavers, Oregon State, are another team that just never covers. All right, like these guys are 6-18-1 on the season, only covering 25% of the time. They play 25 games, they're covering 25% of the time, so they cover once every 4 games. We've been waiting for NC State, that buy-in for NC State, whatever, they won once. They're never covering. They're 7-20 right now. Miami, Ohio are brutal. Miami of Ohio are 6-17 against the spread on the season. Looking at tomorrow night's action here, and shout out to our AM radio affiliates, looking at tomorrow night's action as far as who's hot and who's not. We talked about Middle Tennessee State and UTEP. Both these teams are hot coming into this, coming into the game. They're not the only ones, though. Louisville have been in a free fall, all right? They're getting double digits, yes, but they've been in a free fall. They're 2-8 straight up, 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 basketball games going into Chapel Hill. Tar Heels laying a 10 spot there. West Virginia, another team that we talked about earlier in the program. 1-9 straight up in their last 10 games, guys. All right, 1-9. All right, 2-8. 2-8 against the spread as well. They've been burning money. West Virginia just 1-7 on the road. They're at TCU. TCU are laying a four spot there. I think that's the play. Southern Miss have been terrible as well. These guys are 1-9 straight up in their last 10 games, but it's not like Marshall are any good. It's one of these weird nights tomorrow night. There's a lot of bad teams playing that have been money burners this year, but they're getting a lot of points. So, you know, it's one of those sort of, you know, we got Baylor and Oklahoma State. Everybody's down on Baylor, but Baylor have enough to get it done in Stillwater here. Pacific getting 13.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Dave Morant. The first of players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, the bandos, and everybody else in between. We kick it. Sirius XM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our glorious AM radio affiliates. Babano, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, Gabe, on a weekend that's All-Star weekend in the NBA, lots of NHL, lots of college basketball, a few punches being thrown in college basketball today, lots going on.
Yeah, it was a wild day today in the Big Ten, specifically. Juwan Howard took exception to a late timeout by Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard, and then Fisk started flying. I tell you what, Papano, the ironic thing is I ended up winning my bet. The total was 139.5, and it got to 140 because of all the late stuff, timeouts, baskets. And listen, I'm a lifelong Michigan fan, but Coach Howard was out of line. I said it earlier. I get it. He was upset. You can yell. You can, you know, you can say we're going to get you next time and stuff like that. But you can't be slapping assistant coaches upside the head. But, hey, it's the Big Ten, baby, Big Ten basketball. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, it was intensity. He was an intense player, competitor, coach in the NBA, coach now in college, Juwan Howard. That's always what he's been. He's wanted to win and really, you know, took pride in being at the best and bringing his best individually and wanting his teams to bring their best. But at the end of the day, you can't do that. You know, you just can't, you know, sucker punch someone when they're not looking upside the head in the handshake line like that. And there's fault on both sides. If you're Juwan Howard, why are you full court pressing when you're down by 20 plus points? Full court pressure, no amount of turnovers you can force with a full court press with that little time and down that many points is going to bring you back in that game. So I don't know what you're doing with the full court press. Now, on the flip side, guard calling timeout wasn't necessary either. So there's blame on both sides, in my opinion, with those actions. But the one thing Juwan Howard can't do is throw a punch there. It was not
He didn't sucker punch, though. Buddy saw it. I mean, Buddy was looking at him. It was a surprise that he did it.
Surprise,
he should have gotten in Howard's face because Howard wasn't going to do anything to guard. He sort of got, you know, he was finger pointing. He sort of grabbed him a bit, but guard's an old dude. He was smaller than Juwan Howard. The assistant coach comes flying in, and then Howard throws a punch. But as a head coach, you can't do that.
No.
And the thing is, too, Michigan are going to make the tournament most likely, but they are on the bubble. They are sort of on the fence right now, and you know, they didn't have their best game today. Let's be real.
Yep.
The final score was kinder than, you know, Wisconsin kicked their ass today. Michigan were flat. And you don't really want to bring attention to it like you did, like they did. So, you know, if it comes down to, like, Michigan and another team that has the same record, Babano,
I don't know if they're going to want to reward Coach Howard after this. Who knows how long he's going to be out for. Whatever, man. We'll see what happens moving forward as far as the season is concerned. But it wasn't a smart move at all. Let's just put it that way.
Well, this is the tale of Michigan. It wasn't a smart move, absolutely. You can't outdo that whatsoever. You know, and you're talking about coaching a college team, trying to lay an impression on kids. The one thing you don't want to lay an impression on is, yeah, it's okay
Michigan
to just punch
somebody. Michigan's pretty uptight, too. It's not Sun Belt. You do this at UTSA or, you know what I mean?
Flies under the radar.
No, Georgia
CBS
State or
television
something.
On a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Wisconsin, right. Michigan, Big Ten.
Right before golf, like they came on after Hello Friends. It was great. Like it literally went from like, oh my God, Howard just threw a punch to welcome to the Genesis Invitational, friends. It was like this. That's what I was thinking after. I'm like, oh my God, dude, of all networks, of all times, even like on a Wednesday on ESPN or something, it wouldn't have been bad. But Sunday afternoon, literally, they went right into the golf after.
There's not enough sap in a maple tree that could make Jim Nantz sappy enough to wipe
out. He didn't bring it up.
For that punch from Juwan Howard having that golf broadcast, I'll tell you that.
he went right into the golf. You know, hello, friends. I was cracking up. I'm like, yeah, what a great way to go, coach. Like you said, too, you're a college coach. You can't be doing that, right? It's like, fortunately, he didn't punch a kid. If he punched a kid, he'd be done. Like, he didn't punch one of the players, at least, like on Wisconsin. He slapped a former player and assistant coach in the side of the head. It's not good. It's not good. It is what it is. It's done. It's not good. And don't forget, I don't know if you saw last week he played a ball that was on the court too. People thought that was strange. Like the Babana, there was a ball that it was still in play. Like it was a live ball and it rolled like to the other side of the court. And for some reason he stepped onto the court and touched the ball. He played the ball, the coach. And he was like, I'm sorry. And yeah, it was kind of funny, but come on, coach, you gotta rein in the erratic behavior here.
Well, the thing is with Juwan Howard, since his tenure began at Michigan, he's always looked very, very composed, very calm, cool, collected for the most part. But it's easy to come unglued when you're having the kind of season his team is having so far this year.
He's been pretty calm. I don't know. He just snapped. Another thing is, too, like you said, yeah, he played in college. He played at Michigan, but it was a long time ago. And he's been in the NBA a long time. Yeah, he was a player. He was an assistant coach in the NBA. So he's been in the NBA a long time. And you can lose it like that in the NBA. You can even like slap somebody in the NBA. All right, you're going to get suspended a game or two. But you're a college coach. And like I said earlier, Babana, Michigan's an uptight institution, bro. Right? It's not like Miami, Florida, or like, you know, no one's laughing about it on the campus. I'll tell you that. Like his bosses are not happy.
No, they're not happy, and I think it's a culmination of things. He just sees this team as, well, you've just lost a game that you played poorly in. You're seeing the stuff at the end. They're running up the score a little bit.
Yeah, like you said, Michigan were trying hard at the end, actually. Yep. Like, they were. They were playing a full-court press. They were getting in their face. Wisconsin talk a lot of smack, too, right? Like, their players talk a lot, and that's another thing. If you notice on Twitter, Babana, look on Twitter. Like, the rest of the Big Ten actually has Michigan's back on this. Like, a lot of, like, even Michigan State fans are like, I hate Michigan, but Wisconsin are really, really annoying. And they run their mouth, right? So they're running their mouth. They call a timeout. Howard was upset, but, you know, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. And, you know, the ramifications, not to mention some of the players threw punches after as well. So it leads to a domino effect. And, like, you know, Michigan are already on the bubble, man. If he should be mad at anybody, it's himself. You know, he didn't have his team ready to play.
Yeah, and they've had a disappointing season. The point guard plays.
Well, they did, actually. They were tied 31-31. It just sort of fell apart. You know what I'm saying?
Second half is really when it got away from them. There's no doubt. But they've had insufficient point guard play at times this year. Turnover problems galore.
They're inconsistent defensively.
Yeah, and the next game they don't. I mean, they've had so many games this year where they've given up 70 points, 80 points. They gave up 82 in a loss to Purdue. You know, they beat out. Look at these last few games. Tells you all you need to know about Michigan's season. They beat Penn State. They beat Purdue. It was a great home win for them at Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. They follow it up. What do? They get blown out by double digits at home against Ohio State. They go on the road. They beat Iowa. Solid road win at Carver Hawkeye Arena there. And then they follow it up today at Wisconsin. They lose by 14. It's just one game they're up, one game they're down. That's been Michigan's season, and that's why they're on the bubble right now.
They're going to have to do better. They're going to have to just get a little bit of consistency. Basically, as Jerry Palm, who I like a lot, Jerry Palm's a great bracketologist. He was talking about Michigan. He basically said Michigan are in, but they need to be four games over 500, Bebeto, which they were, right, which they were coming into today. Thing is, they have some nice wins, but they have a lot of bad losses. Not like bad losses to bad teams, but like just sort of, wow, what the hell was that type of game, right? Yep. It just seems to happen too much. All right, Ian Cameron kicking with us. I am Gable Morency. A big brouhaha today in Madison. I tell you what, though, Babano, the rivalry is on now moving forward, bro, between Michigan and Wisconsin. Like, even after Wisconsin players were really mouthing off after, and they were waving bye to the Michigan players and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Although, you know, it's the Big Ten's going to be on top of this, but it's going to be must-see TV the next time these two teams meet up. I'll tell you that.
Which would be in the Big Ten tournament if it's going to happen, because they don't play in the rest of the regular season. So if it's going to happen, it'll be in the Big Ten tournament, and that's obviously a possibility. So stay tuned.
It is. And you know what? Michigan always play well in the Big Ten tournament, too. That's another thing. That's why I've never really been in a panic about Michigan not making the NCAA tournament, although this doesn't help. As I stated, if it comes down to Michigan and another team, and they have the same record as Michigan, and it's sort of the same power ranking, they're going to say, you know what, let's let the team in which the coach doesn't punch people in the face after when he loses. He just can't be known as being a bad loser. But hey, it's done. No turning back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Defense the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down to Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to Sports Map, Sports Pine Line, Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Ian Cameron kicking it with us. All right, Papano. It's a holiday Monday. We've got early NHL action, college basketball on the board. Speaking of the Big Ten, let's keep it in the Big Ten right now. And speaking of inconsistent, Indiana have been an inconsistent basketball team this year. We've got Indiana on the road against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Indiana just 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 basketball games. Comes into this game, Babano, riding a four-game outright losing streak as well. Losing to Illinois, losing to Northwestern, losing to Michigan State, losing to Wisconsin. Meanwhile, you've got Ohio State coming off a loss to Iowa. Two wins before that. That's what sort of Ohio State do. They'll win 2-3 games, then they'll lose one. Overall on the season, guys, Ohio State are 16-7 straight up. Indiana are 16-9. Ohio State 12-11 against the spread. Indiana 13-12 against the spread. Ohio State 13-10 to the over. Indiana 14-11 to the under, laying a touchdown and an extra point. 7 points here, Babano. What's your take on the Big Ten battle?
So revenge for Ohio State. They lost 67-51 to Indiana earlier this year at Assembly. Indiana's in terrible form at the moment, 0-4 straight up and against the spread their last four. They really haven't been close in a couple of the games. And at Michigan State, who, by the way, the Spartans aren't playing great by any stretch right now. They lost at Michigan State by 15. They lost at Northwestern by 8, this Indiana team. They got blown out by Illinois at home. And in their last game against Wisconsin, not a bad effort, but they lose by 5, and they were favored at home against Wisconsin. So this Indiana team's not playing good ball. You would think E.J. Liddell and this Ohio State team bounces back. I think it's a good spot for them to bounce back. They had a home loss to Iowa on Saturday. It was really surprising, actually. You only see them score 62 points in that game against an Iowa team that isn't exactly known for playing great defense, not by any stretch, but they struggled to shoot. They were just 23 of 49. Turnovers were an issue a little bit against Iowa as well. It was just a bad offensive game for the Buckeyes. They probably got better in them. We've seen Indiana lose by margin on the road. I mean, their only road wins lately were Maryland and Nebraska, two of the worst teams in the Big Ten. So if I'm betting this game from a side perspective, Gabe, it's Ohio State. I would only lay the points.
That's a good point. The Hoosiers have only won two games on the road all year. We played 8 road games, 2-6 on the highway. What do you make of the total, Babano, 135? They're both sort of going in different directions there. If you look at Ohio State have played to 4 straight unders. And you look at Indiana, they've had two straight overs. Before that, they had 3 straight unders. When they played earlier this year. You talked about it being a revenge spot. It was a low-scoring game, and it was a blowout as well, 67-51, way under the number. And ironically enough, I was in the same neighborhood here. It was 139 last time. Didn't get anywhere near there, so they post a 135 this time, Babano.
Yeah, the lean is over for me here, actually.
It's a light number.
The last time Ohio State was in this spot, they lost it on the road at Purdue, a very good team, obviously. They bounced back at home against Maryland, and they crushed them, and they put 82 points on the board, and they shot over 50% from the field. I think after that Iowa loss, that's uncustomary to see them shoot that badly, especially on their home floor, Ohio State. I think you'll see the offense really get there, and if it does, you know, you just need a little bit of contribution here from Indiana to get the game over the total. Indiana actually plays with pace under Woodson. You know, they're 166 above average in terms of tempo, Indiana. Ohio State under Holtman slows it down, but 10th in the country in terms of offensive efficiency. It didn't show on against Iowa, but when you're talking about, Gabe, the 10th best team in the country, offensive efficiency, that's Ohio State coming off a game where they shot so poorly and only scored 62 points. You'd think this is a good buy low, bounce back offensive type of bet here for Ohio State. So I would look probably to the over.
Ian Cameron kicking with us. I am Gable Morency. Late Night Anger Management Class, Sunday Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. Speaking of revenge, we have another revenge spot here, Babano. Baylor. Baylor go on the road, and Oklahoma State beat these guys on January the 15th at Baylor. Everybody's abandoned the Baylor bandwagon right now, Babano, due to the injuries. They are shorthanded right now, going on the road, laying 4.5 points here, a little Big 12 action. What's your take on the Big 12 matchup?
Yeah, Baylor is injured. Baylor's got key injuries. Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua is as big an injury as there is in college basketball right now because he mans the middle, he defends the rim, he's terrific in the interior for Baylor, and you've seen this team suffer without him at the defense. Texas Tech just shredded them without him on the floor. At Texas Tech, they lost 83-73. They did bounce back on the weekend against TCU, but TCU is not a good shooting team. TCU is just not a good offensive team. So holding them to 62 points at home after the loss to Texas Tech, I don't know if that's, wow, Baylor's found their defense again, or, yeah, you just took advantage of a team that's not good offensively. I really don't know which one it is. I think it's more of the latter. TCU just isn't great in terms of offensive basketball. Oklahoma State, give them credit. They beat Kansas State in overtime in their last game, but still been erratic. They still have not really stepped up and been able to do great, you know, against better competition. I know they beat Baylor earlier this year, 61-54 in that one, but Baylor, Oklahoma State in that game was outstanding defensively. I can't imagine they're going to hold down Baylor like that this time around. When you look at the number here, even with the injury to Chamwa-Chachua here, you got Baylor 4.5. Revenge situation. I've not necessarily liked Baylor on the road lately with the Texas Tech loss, the Kansas loss, but they did beat up Kansas State on the road by 15. And Oklahoma State's closer to Kansas State, lower level Big 12 team this year. They've fallen off big time after that big run in the NCAA tournament last year with Cade Cunningham. So I'd probably lay the points if I had to. I don't think I'll bet the game, but I'd lean Baylor.
I lean Baylor as well in this spot. They still have enough talent to grind through and find a way. I don't think they're going to lose both games to the Cowboys. Cowboys just aren't quite good enough, I think, to sweep them. Total here feels a little light as well. Even with the injuries to Baylor, Babano, these guys, they're still going to get into the 70s, right? I mean, they scored 72 against TCU. They scored 73 against Texas Tech. They scored 80 against Texas. They scored 75 against Kansas State. They had the dud there, the 59 against Kansas, but 81 against West Virginia. You see the pattern here, but man, this team is good for 70-plus points.
Yeah, they might still get over the total. Keep an eye on this, though. L.J. Cryer, Adam Flagler, they're the two other guys that are injured. Both of them guards. Both of them average double digits in scoring and points for Baylor. But they were without those guys against TCU at home, and
exactly. They
still won. They still scored 72. So that's the good news. You'd like to see Cryer or at least one of them back.
I know. Obviously. Well, keep our eye on the injured list for sure. But I think it affects them more on defense even, right? Like the defense is the chemistry. You know, these kids you can plug in, you know, they can plug them in and they can put points up on the board. But definitely, as you stated, Flagler and Cryer, keep your eye on their situation. The other top 25 matchup tomorrow night is a big number here with the UCLA Bruins hosting Arizona State. Although UCLA have done a nice job of covering numbers this year. They're on a roll right now, at least. You know, they stumbled out of the gate early, laying massive numbers coming off the hype, but 7-3 ATS in their last 10 basketball games. They've won 3 of their last 4 outright, with the exception of the loss to USC, although it's not like the Washington teams are great or anything like that, right? Listen, Babano, UCLA, these teams that go far in the tournament and stuff, the following year, it's hard to get the kids up, man, for like regular season games and stuff. They all know, man, whatever, it's about the tournament again, right? So I find like UCLA is just sort of one of these teams that I wouldn't discount them. I think they're going to dial it up a little bit more in the tournament, but it's a lot of points to be laying. What's your opinion on that one?
So since UCLA got capacity crowds back at Pauley Pavilion, here's what they've done. Arizona in that showdown, January 25th, they pummeled Arizona, Arizona team, 75-59. Beat Cal and covered, 81-57 at home. Beat Stanford and covered, 66-43 at home. Beat Washington State and covered, 76-56 at home. Beat down Washington Saturday, 76-50 at home. All covered, and some of those as double-digit favorites. And they lost to Arizona State at Tempe in overtime just a few weeks ago. That tells you all you need to know, Gabe, where I'm looking in this game. Home favorite or nothing.
Ian Cameron, AK Babano. All right, Babano, we got a couple of minutes left in this segment. We'll hit some NHL on the other side. What else catches your eye tomorrow in the college hardwood? We just talked about the top 25 action. Anything else on the board you like?
I'll just throw this out there as a general premise here. There's some Conference USA games tomorrow night. UTEP, Middle Tennessee State, Marshall, Southern Miss. The games in this conference have been flying over the total, you know, and we saw a bunch more on Saturday. We saw UTSA Louisiana Tech go over the total. Charlotte versus Marshall went over the total. Rice versus Florida International went over the total. And a lot of these teams that are playing tomorrow in this conference, those two games, Marshall, Southern Miss, UTEP, Middle Tennessee State, all of those teams are lackluster defensively. Every single one of them, even Southern Miss, who play at a snail pace, they've fallen apart at the defensive end of the floor. Marshall, they play the Thundering Herd, Dan D'Antoni's team. We know what they do. They go up and down the court, one of the fastest paced teams in college basketball. High total, but I could make a case for the over there. Same thing with Middle Tennessee, UTEP. UTEP will slow it down a bit, but Middle Tennessee State plays above average tempo. The total's only 136.
The Blue Raiders, too, one of the hottest teams in the country, ATS. Now 10-1 the last 11.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to step scorching. In front of that.
Scorching. Yeah. We've been riding them a bit. You know, and we focus in on the best and the worst on this program, right? And Middle Tennessee State are like at the top, you know, with a very robust 17-5-2 against the spread on the season. Unbelievable season for MTSU if you're betting on these guys.
It's been unbelievable. And we have to say condolences to Long Beach State bettors. They finally failed to cover on Saturday night against Cal Santa Barbara.
A hell of a run.
Hell of a run, but it finally ended. Can't last forever.
Nothing lasts forever, even cold November rain, as Axl Rose says. All right, Ian Cameron, kick it with us. Let's talk some pucks on the other side. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Grid. Sports Grid Radio Network. Here's XM Channel 159. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Grid. Let's do this thing. Sirius XM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Network's Ian Cameron. Kit with us, one of the ice guys. They break it down daily, break down every National Hockey League game. Let's talk some NHL action. Have a battle. Holiday Monday. We've got some afternoon puck action. That's a good thing because we've got no NBA for a couple of days after the All-Star game. Most of the week they're off, actually, this week. So the National Hockey League will take center stage along with college basketball. Let's start off with the Colorado Avalanche and the Boston Bruins. Talk about a hot team right now. Colorado Avalanche are absolutely smoking it. 14-1-1, guys, in their last 16 hockey games. Boston, in their own words, kind of grinding right now. We can see the Bruins have hit a little bit of a wall. The midseason blues of Babano have caught up to them, of course. Brad Marchand suspended for 6 games as well. Colorado at Boston, 1 o'clock Eastern. What's your take?
It's Boston trying to beat a good team. And Boston's not done that a lot late this year, beat a good team. I mean, a lot of their wins have been against the weaker competition. They've had a real tough time stepping up in class. When they played Tampa and they played Carolina and they played Toronto, they have had some issues this year, the Bruins. They're still without Brad Marchand, I believe, for only one more game. I think this might be the final game of his suspension right now, but still struggling. I mean, I know they beat Ottawa in overtime Saturday night. Give them credit. They beat the they lost to the Islanders, I should say, which now looks like a really bad loss considering.
They always lose to the Islanders. Remember, Ben, yep. Last year too, they always lose to the Islanders.
So they're just too inconsistent. I mean, it's kind of worrisome in terms of the spot. Colorado, they're playing
it's
a very early 1 p.m.
It's
Eastern
a big price. 188 is a big price.
So I'd take him in regulation. You know, if I get involved, it'll be a small play, nothing significant, but I would look Colorado in regulation. Just trust Boston to do what they do, and that struggle to beat the better teams. And how are you going to step in front of a 14-1-1 team right now, and especially Darcy Kemper playing as well as he is in net? He's been awesome during this stretch.
Yeah, Darcy Kemper's been unbelievable, and people question him, actually. It's one of the question marks that people have about Colorado in the playoffs, but you can't question him right now, bro. He's 16-0-1, Babano, in his last 17 games.
Yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely remarkable. Shut out Vegas, you know, or last week in that big game against the Golden Knights. So he's doing it against good teams as well. And this Colorado team is playing the style of hockey that's going to win in April and May and June. They used to be chasing, you know, a bunch of goals, and sometimes they'd open up, and when they get a lead, they'd still try to score more, and they'd leave themselves vulnerable at the defensive end of the ice. Not anymore. They get a lead now. And this is important to note for in-game betting in terms of totals. In-game unders with Colorado, when they lead, that's been a great bet because they've been They've been tightening it up. They've really been good with the lead. They've not necessarily chased more goals, more offense. They've wanted to tidy things up and take care of their own zone whenever they've had the lead. So if you see Colorado up 2-1, 2-0, 3-1 in this game, you know, especially third period, an under live might not be the worst way to go because they've been very good at holding the lead and just really taking care of their own zone.
I like where you're going with that, actually. I'm a big fan of in-game unders. Good eye with that. They're actually 7-3 to the under in their last 10. I think they need to do this, Babano. I mean, we know they can score. They know they can score. But
we know they got firepower on all four lines.
Yeah, you can't just outscore people, though, and win a cup. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? You're going to be in a couple of games in the playoffs where, you know, it's going to help and you're going to win 6-4 or something like that, 6-5. But for the most part, you've got to tighten things up. And I think you can't just flick the switch either. You can't just develop good habits overnight. You've got to start, you know. So it's a positive sign, actually, for Colorado Avalanche fans and future bettors to see them playing this style. Another good hockey team, the Carolina Hurricanes. Very, very good road team. This team. They've been good on the road, solid on the road, 17-7-2 on the road so far this year, Babano. But they're laying a big price against the Philadelphia Flyers, 2-1 favorites, -200, total 6.5. Philadelphia Flyers pay back +164.
Yeah, 3-4 is actually all that's the record for Carolina on a back-to-back. And they played in Pittsburgh on Sunday afternoon and got the win.
A little weary of them then.
Yeah, just a little bit. And they're playing lowly. I mean, we know they're better than Philly, but they're priced like they're better than Philly. And you just worry about them here in this kind of spot. And they've got a below. This has been the one role that Carolina has struggled this year, back to back. Like I say, they're 3-4 on the second of back to back games here, and 2-3 after a win, the likes of which they had against Pittsburgh. But there is no case to be made for Philadelphia in this game. Obviously, they're the much weaker team. They've struggled. Their defense is horrible. Their penalty killing is horrible. The goaltending, Carter Hart's been okay, but Martin Jones was dreadful in the last game. Carolina already beat Philadelphia November 26th in Philly. And I remember Carolina was going from the West Coast to the East Coast, a bad travel situation, and Carolina still went into Philly and beat the Flyers 6-3. And it looked like that was a good spot for the Flyers. So that's why I can't back the Flyers. They're a terrible team. They are in the better spot, but they were in the better spot when they played Carolina at home November 26th, and they lost to them 6-3. So there you go.
The Calgary Flames in action, hosting Winnipeg, and you want to talk about hot. And pardon the pun when we're talking about the Calgary Flames, but they can match their longest winning streak in franchise history on Monday afternoon. They've won 9 hockey games in a row. Calgary have won 10 straight games twice in team history. How about this? Going all the way back to the Atlanta Flames, Babano. Yeah, that sounds made up. That can't be true. I don't think Atlanta won 10 games in franchise history. But the Atlanta Flames in 1978-79 actually won 10 games in a row. And the Calgary Flames won 10 games in a row in 2016-17. And I'll tell you what, the Flames have had some good teams over the years. Not so much recently, but, you know, the late 80s guys, they won the Cup. They were going to Cups. They were good. They had a big battle, the Battle of Alberta. You know, they were always battling with Wayne Gretzky, and then they won cups after and stuff. You know, great franchise. You know, they're playing great hockey, Babano. They really are right now. Hosting Winnipeg here, laying -230, though, we should note. So the Jets go in there getting +188. The total is 6, Babano.
This one is a game where I could see Winnipeg maybe ending the win streak. I don't know if I'm going to have the guts to take the Jets, but I'm leaning Jets right now. And here's why. Winnipeg has been one of those teams that I'm starting to figure out how to approach them. When they're playing a good team.
I never have. I'll tell you that. You're smarter than I am.
When they play a really good hockey team, I find it stimulates them. It fires them up. And you get the best out of the Winnipeg Jets. Look at some of their recent performances. They shut out Minnesota 2-0 at home. They went into Nashville, tough place to win. They beat Nashville 5-2. Look at the losses. Chicago, you know, they lose 3-1 at home after beating Nashville on the road. It was a bad loss. Again, a struggling Chicago team. They didn't match that intensity. But then they played Minnesota again at home, and they beat them by a score of 6-3. You know, Winnipeg has had a recent track record of the better the opponent, the more they're locked in and the more they're into that game. And you know, Calgary's not going to win out the rest of the season. It's not easy to go against them. And I've been on Calgary team totals and Calgary games over the total a lot lately. I wouldn't talk you out of that. I think you could still get Winnipeg winning this game and Calgary could still score 4. That's how good their offense has been. And don't be fooled by the Calgary score against Seattle, 2-1. It's going to say, whoa, Calgary, finally, their offense didn't work for a change. No, they still had 37 shots. They hit a couple posts. Philip Grubauer was good. They missed a couple of wide open nets. They had a million chances in that game. They could add 6 goals or 5 goals just like they've had in every other recent game. So I'm leaning Jets. I think I'll sprinkle on the Jets. I really like the spot for them. Off a loss, they've been good. What are they now? They're, I believe, 4-0 in their last 4 games off a loss. And that's the situation for them here. They lost 4-2 to Edmonton on Saturday. I think it's just overpriced a little bit. I understand Calgary's rolling, but, you know, Gabe, if we rewind to a month ago, Calgary's hosting Winnipeg. There's no way they're laying -230 here. There's absolutely no way they're laying this big a price. So call me crazy because the Calgary's red hot and not many are playing better than them, but I'm trying to make a case for Winnipeg. I also think the game goes over the total.
Well, no, I like you can't just always ride the chalk, right? You know, at some point.
I know it. Guess who had Montreal today against the Islanders? You're talking to him.
Well, speaking of Montreal, Babano, that's the first time, actually. It's the first time this year that they've won consecutive games. As crazy as it is. Yep. This is a team, guys, that won 13
games. I just said the Islanders
games.
Can't be laying -240 in that game.
No.
That price was ridiculous.
I'm kicking myself. I was caught up in the basketball, but I was kicking myself for not betting the under of that game, actually. I liked the under, and I looked. And even in-game, I was going to do it, and I don't know. I got caught up. Maybe Juwan Howard punched someone at that time. Whatever. But, yeah, so the Canadians coming off of back-to-back 3-2 wins, but Babano, both as big underdogs, right, against St. Louis Blues and then against the New York Islanders. Listen, I don't think they should be winning games. They're trying to get the top pick in the draft. So now you get the Toronto Maple Leafs rolling in here. And, you know, man, Montreal have given Toronto problems over the years, even though Toronto have generally been the better team. But they've only played once, Babano, ironically enough, since the playoffs last year. And Toronto beat them 2-1. And it was the first game of the year. It was like October the 13th. I can't believe they haven't played since.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Their division rivals, they're going to play a bunch. That's the thing, though. They're going to play a bunch
that's
now.
That's good for the Leafs.
The rest of the regular season. So, I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
now's the
true.
Time it's bad.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Marty St. Louis, 2-0 now with the Canadians. Back-to-back wins against the Blues and the Islanders. So, there's absolutely no way I can lay -330. Here's the issue for Montreal. They're going to get a focused Leafs team. Leafs lost at home to St. Louis on Saturday night. They didn't like their play defensively. In that game, they're probably going to look to shore that up here and not take the Montreal for granted. there's just no value. I mean, you're talking -1.5, -130, even if you want to lay a buck and a half with the Leafs. And I'm not even, you know, excited about doing that. I think what I will do is a first period puck line. Now, a lot of books don't have this yet, but you could probably be able to get it at -0.5, around probably +120, something like that. Toronto, -0.5, +120 in the first period. I could see them coming out strong after losing to St. Louis. Back-to-back for the Canadians. Maybe they start a step slow after being in Long Island Sunday afternoon, now playing back-to-back. So I think a Leaf first period, you get a plus price on it, -0.5. I think that's probably the best way to go if you like Toronto in this spot.
Last game on the board, Babano, Pacific Northwest battle between the Seattle Kraken and the Vancouver Canucks. And don't be kidded by the 7-4 final score on Saturday, Babano, with the Ducks and the Canucks. Wow. That was like, you know, that was pre-Boudreaux stuff. That was like bad Canuck hockey, man. Like, they got blasted early. It was ugly. They did everything wrong and ended up losing 7-4, and the final score is kind of being kind. They're still playing okay, the Canucks. You know, they got to find a little bit of consistency. You know, they'll win two games in a row, then they'll lose one. They'll, you know, they'll win one, and then they'll lose. They're sort of back and forth right now, but I like teams coming off a loss, and that was a humiliating, embarrassing loss on Saturday. You mentioned a crack and coming off that game, 2-1 loss against the Flames on Saturday night.
Where they got dominated, by the way, Seattle, 37-23. I mean, Grubauer, the one good news for Seattle is that was one of Grubauer's best games he's played, and he gave the team a chance, but still lost 2-1. It could have been much worse than that. Teams that are focused to beat Seattle usually beat Seattle. I mean, that's just the way it's been. And Vancouver, after a debacle against Anaheim, they weren't ready from the opening puck drop. It was maybe one of Demko's worst. Actually, he's had two games in a row, Demko, where he's not played great. He got pulled against Anaheim. I'd expect him to play a lot better here tonight, on Monday night, against Seattle. -170, I'm not going to lay that, but what you can do is maybe look Vancouver puck line. I'm going to take him in regulation. At least with Canucks in regulation, you'll get it close to even money. I think that's definitely going to be something I bet here.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. All right, Babano, we've got about 20 seconds. So where can people find you and get hooked up with all your picks and podcasts?
At Babano, the Ice Guys, 7 days a week. We now have a guy from Latvia, played pro hockey. Rinus Vitalin's joining us regularly on the show as well. So great hockey betting talk, 7 days a week, the Ice Guys.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. The Late Night Anger Man from Baskin, can you bring it?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning. Level three, quickest 180 minutes in sports, thanks to Big Man on Campus, despite his Nate Thurman slander. And Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. All right, as long as we're just talking hockey here on the way out, I am Gabriel Morency. Let's leave you a couple of hockey futures. You know what? We were successful in the future market with football. We're on the Raptors over 36.5. We're on the Kraken under 89.5 points. The future market has been good to us. You know, you just need to show patience, but, you know, you double your money, man. And in the stock market, people would kill for that. I think people have been killed for that. Right? So a couple of hockey futures on the way out here. Season awards, all right, for the most valuable player. Hart Trophy Memorial. Connor McDavid right now is +195. Ovechkin is +400. Draisaitl is +650. Listen, Johnny Hockey, both Johnny Hockeys, man. All the Johnnies are playing great. Johnny Goudreau is playing great. And Jonathan Huberdeau is also playing awesome. Thing is, Goudreau plays in Calgary. He's not going to get the love. And even though Connor McDavid's in Edmonton, the media does love him. So Connor McDavid at +195 is a decent bet. Shesterkin is going to win the Vezina Trophy at +140. Zegras is going to win the Rookie of the Year at +250. And I'll tell you what, Cale Makar for the Norris Trophy, slam dunk at +100. Now, we got to wait till June for the hockey awards, but you know, these are all nice plus money plays here that we're gonna get in. We encourage you to as well. Just like we told you, getting in on the NBA All-Star total when it was 318.5 and 319.5. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.